Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Lane Rizzardini of Marion Relationship Marketing. And today we are discussing revenue operations and how Lane and his team go beyond just helping businesses get leads, but give their clients the tools, processes, and knowledge to turn more of their clients' customers into raving fans. Lane is the co-owner of Marion Relationship Marketing, and their mission is to help businesses drive more customers and create amazing service experiences through strategies tailored to the customer's emotional buying journey. Thanks so much for joining us today, Lane.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I live in Dallas, Texas. I've been here, I'm originally from Chicago, but I moved here 10 years ago and decided to stick around.
Nice. Awesome. I've always wanted to visit Dallas, Texas. So very cool. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
It really comes from my background of being my parents were business owners. Mm-hmm. My grandmother started our preschool and daycare in Chicago and then left it to my parents. Marion is actually my grandmother's name. That's the origin of our company name.
Okay. I was actually going to ask you how you came up with that name, because normally it's a last name or something, but I didn't recognize it. So that's cool.
Yeah. It's my grandmother's name. And so the inspiration comes from that, you know, having started on that side of the table where, you know, we had marketing companies talking to us and how to do local marketing and understanding, you know, my parents, you know, their needs, their pain points, their fears, mm-hmm. what, you know, what made them happy, what was important to them. And so that's what really inspired kind of how we do the work we do here. Why we kind of are over the top in the amount of like transparency we provide, mm-hmm. The amount of communication that we provide, and not, you know, it's more of a consultatory approach, because that's what my parents would want. I know that's what, you know, all of our customers want too. And it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. It's really cool when you're able to put yourself in, you know, you've been in the place of your clients and you can put yourself in their shoes so that you're able to know exactly what they want. That's a great place to be in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's really cool. So how did you get into digital marketing?
So I was an English major out of college, which basically made me qualified to do nothing. And so I was at home in Chicago for about 9 months applying for like copywriting jobs. I actually wanted to be a fantasy sports writer. I actually won an award for it. I was writing for football and baseball sites, and I thought that's what I really wanted to do.
Interesting.
But it doesn't really pay much. And
be hard, you know, to get that job, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of like not paying gigs for that. Yeah. it takes a while to get, you know, make it a career. And my parents eventually were like, you gotta get out. So, our digital marketing agency, Reach Local, that was doing Grand Avenue, that was our preschool, mm-hmm. was doing their marketing. Our sales guy was like, hey, there's a job for a new product offering that we have, but it's in Texas and you'd have to relocate. I applied. Okay. It was the only job that I got an offer for. Mm-hmm. And so I packed up my Nissan Sentra and drove to Dallas. Had never been there, didn't really know anybody there. And it was called ReachCast. The product was basically all for local businesses, but it was like blogging, SEO, social media, mm-hmm. reputation management, all kind of packaged up into this kind of, you know, you had a separate website for your blog. It was kind of an all-in-one, you know, local SEO organic social media package.
Gotcha.
And I was blessed to meet a lot of other fellow transplants, guys from Ohio and Idaho and, you know, Michigan, that kind of took me under their wing. And that's what kind of kept me there. Was kind of meeting those guys and creating strong bonds. And then from there, just like, I really enjoyed the work. I just loved working with all of the local business owners that I got to meet with. And I just, I got really passionate about it. And I found a lot of success, and slowly the, you know, having to stay up late at night, listening to, taking notes on baseball games that I didn't care about on the West Coast, suddenly seemed less, fun. Right. So that's what kind of made the transition into kind of really wanting to get into marketing, and make that my career. From there, kind of, so I learned all of the, you know, the organic kind of social media and really like account management portions of things, like customer service, like how to have, like how to respond to clients quickly, in a way that they want. And then quickly moved into learning Google ads, and Facebook ads, and really kind of saying, okay, I need to learn, you know, I want to learn everything about this space and not just be confined to one specialist area.
Yeah.
And that's been really helpful, kind of as I've gotten into where I am now.
Cool. So how long were you with that company? And then when did you decide to go off on your own and start your own business?
Yeah. So I was with Reach Local, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then I was recruited by a couple, former sales guys, at Reach Local that I'd worked with to join their 4-person company, called the Pool Builder Lead Rocket.
Okay.
And, there was 4 people. I was supposed to come in as an account manager. Mm-hmm. They knew I knew Google ads and was good with customers. So, as soon as I got in, it was very clear that they had like no operations in place. They were like really good at sales and like websites and that sort of thing. But they, I very quickly transitioned. I basically templated out the whole like account management structure.
Okay.
And, that's how I kind of got more into the operation side of things. And I'm so thankful for them that like, I got to do things that were way above my like resume level. And just got to, you know, in a 4-person company, you get to basically do whatever you want, if it works. And
yeah.
So I got to just try things out and learn and got put into positions that I would have never gotten to at a larger company. And that allowed us to grow from 4 people to 14 people.
Wow.
Within a couple of years. And I got to learn how to hire people and learn like the financials of the business and learn how to manage people. And we were an Inc. 5000 fastest growing company the last like 3 years I was there.
Nice.
And so that was kind of really my crash course in like how to run an agency.
Yeah.
And from there, I had about 4 years there. That's when I was ready to go off on my own and started Marion in 2019.
Okay.
January of 2019.
Awesome. And then, so you started in 2019. So how big is your team now?
So my partner, Ryan, he joined me the day that Texas shut down for COVID, which was
okay.
A great day to sign your partnership contract.
I know.
It was April 2020.
Yeah.
We've been working together quite a bit. He's one of my closest friends. And he'd been working on his own agency. And we were just working on so many of the same clients that we decided to combine forces. So he's their co-owner.
Yeah.
He handles a lot of like he goes like vice president of like an SEO marketing tech company.
Oh, cool.
So he's insanely smart. Really technically skilled, like taught himself how to build websites in a month. He's
amazing.
He's really, really smart.
Yeah.
And we're a great fit. Like he does SEO and websites. I handle so many like Google ads and local marketing side of things. So we're a great fit. And then we have Jeff, who's our digital strategist,
mm-hmm.
and he lives in Wisconsin. And other than that, we have about a team of, I guess, like five other contractors that handle ads, content, website. Someone that is a lead specialist that listens to, like, that handles all of, like, the lead management, listening to phone calls, doing reporting, that sort of thing.
Awesome. Cool. And then, so how do you guys differentiate yourself from your competitors?
So we really starts with our foundational marketing. That is a package that I put together based on kind of seeing how, at my old agency, we were really into, like, Google ads and leads, like, and that was really the pitch, right? Like, we're going to build you a website, we're going to put Google ads up, and, like, and that was really successful. I saw in the market that I think businesses need a lot more than that now. The market is the internet, the digital landscape and the marketing landscape is so fragmented. And these guys, like, there's a 3,000-4,000 changes to Google every year. Google My Business is changing something every other month. Facebook is changing something. TikTok is suddenly a thing. And just, it's impossible for them to, like, keep up with, you know, their changes in their own industry, and then also manage all of these other little things that are happening in marketing constantly. And so, I put together, so we differentiate ourselves based on, like, having a much more, like, consultatory, like, an in-house marketing feel for these guys, so that they have, like, a go-to person for their marketing, that can just handle anything that comes their way, as you know, someone that feels like they're in on their team, without having to, you know, pay for a full-time team member.
Gotcha. So you guys position yourself as an extension of their team, like an in-house marketing person for their team.
Exactly.
Okay.
And cool. So, like, a lot of times our customers, what we love is when customers come to us and say, "Hey, this magazine wants me to place an ad. Is it a good idea?" And so we go to them and we, like, we'll have the discussion. Like, we'll call that marketing company. Sorry. We'll call that magazine. We'll, like, "Hey, like, what's your reach? Like, what does it cost? What sizes do you need? Like, how, what's the contract terms?" And our kind of approach is, "Hey, like, we do a lot of digital, but, like, all marketing can work. It just matter if it fits your budget, if it fits, like, what your needs are right now. You know, do you need more awareness marketing, or do you need more reputation management help? And how are we allocating those dollars?"
Yeah.
And then from there, we, like, "Hey, okay, if this is a good idea, then, like, we're going to give you the tools to track this. Like, we're going to give you a tracking number for this. We're going to set up a vanity URL for this ad, so that we can see, hey, an analytics. Here's the traffic that's coming from this ad. Here are the phone calls that are coming in. Was this a good investment or not?" And we can review with them, like, how it worked with all their other marketing. Mm-hmm. And I think clients really appreciate that they just don't have to worry about kind of having to take those calls.
Yeah.
And deal with that.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are so invested in the success of your clients. So I'm sure they absolutely love that.
Yeah. They said, we like to have very close relationships with all of our clients.
Awesome.
We go to conferences with them. I've slept over at a client's house before. We have really close, like, a lot of them become friends over a while, and it's really rewarding. Yeah.
Those are the best clients to have when you become friends. It's the best working relationship. So let's delve into our topic now and discuss revenue operations as a service. So can you break down what revenue operations services you offer your clients and what this entails exactly?
Yeah. So I want to back up, because it starts with that foundational marketing piece. We've been so invested with our clients. And one big piece of this is all the lead tracking. So we record every phone call that comes through their website. And we know, like, what the source of the lead was, where they came from, organic, your Google My Business page, Facebook ads, whatever. We record all the calls. We listen to all the calls. We rate all the calls. And we, like, review all of the form submissions. And at the end of every month, we don't report that you got 100 phone calls. We tell you that you got 25 good phone calls that were, like, real leads. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what your, like, return on investment is based on. And we can tell them, you know, here's their phone number, here's their first name, last name, here's what they wanted. And clients really love that like transparency and like to know like if this is really working or not.
Okay.
And so through that, we found out that our potential was becoming kind of limited by elements that were outside of our control. So like we would see that like some of our clients wouldn't answer 75% of their phone calls. And we're like, hey, you know, you only had 10 leads this month, but like there's like, you know, 25 other calls that like looked like they could have been good, but we didn't answer. Like, what's going on? And so we were, or like there's sales tactics are an issue. There's no follow-up. There's all of these like internal things that are going on that, you know, we're like, you know, our job is to send you leads. Like that's our relationship here is at the end of the day, we love to be involved, but like at the end of the day, like our job is to give you leads. We, you know, we're going to alley-oop them to you. You're going to dunk them home.
Yeah.
And, but if they don't, that we still lose the client. Right. And if they can't handle them, like, well, we can comfort ourselves thinking that it's not our fault that we drove all these leads. But like at the end of the day, if we still lose the client, everyone loses.
Yeah.
So we wanted to bring in, so that's where revenue ops really comes in. We're like, hey, how can we take this a step further and help these guys with, hey, like they might be a great roofer or a great jeweler or a great home theater installer, but like they may not know how to do sales, right? Like they may not know how to coach they might have hired an admin person. Like they didn't tell them how to like close leads. They just told them they just know how to answer the phone and, you know, put stuff in Excel. So with revenue ops, a big piece of it is it comes with, sales coaching. So we get all the calls, we listen to the calls and we like take notes on, hey, like did this person handle it well? We take down all of like, what are the questions all of these customers are asking and are we answering them well? A lot of times they aren't, but a lot of times it's like the same 10 questions. And so we'll like take down those questions and we will write them objection scripts and say, hey, or we'll go over the client. Hey, how should they be answering this specific question? We'll get the details and we'll write out, hey, this is what you should be saying. Laminate this and put this in front of your desk and so that you know how to say this every time.
I love that. That's really cool.
Especially important with like medical where they go, I mean, it's insurance questions or it's cost questions and the staff just isn't sure how to handle it.
Yeah.
We also provide like, you know, a lot of people talk about funnels and like email nurture sequences and that sort of thing. And those are nice if you're able to, you know, drive traffic to them. But ours also come with an internal operational sequence. So we're sending the customers emails, but we're also sending internal emails to the staff with tasks saying, hey, this person just received this email. You should call them and tell them this. And like, here's all their contact information. And here's what you should say to them.
Okay.
And then we can do texting. So it says, hey, now we wait 3 days and now you're going to text them and here's what you're going to text to them. And so we're trying to give so instead of the staff, like, so a lot of times the staff was getting, you know, 100 leads, they wouldn't know how to follow up. They couldn't keep track of follow-ups.
Yeah.
A lot of client good leads would just get lost in the shuffle because they're trying to use their calendar. I mean, it's a total mess.
Yeah.
And so giving them this, these just basic tasks saying, okay, it's time to follow up with Joanna. Like this is your third follow-up. She's just received this information, et cetera. Like that's really helped the staff stay organized and really follow up with leads and increase their close rates.
Yeah. I think that makes so much sense. Cause yeah, like you said, like so many agencies are just focused on driving those leads, but yeah, there can be a huge disconnect on the client side if they're not organized and don't have those processes in place on how to be following up with those leads and closing them. So yeah that's so cool.
Yeah.
So is that a standalone service that you guys offer, or I guess it would be part of like probably a custom marketing package that you would put together for your clients?
Yeah, this is turning into a package in itself.
Okay.
We're calling it and we're trying to build it out a little more. But yeah, I mean, it's basically we're basically calling it a revenue operations package.
Okay.
And we're trying to take it a step further with not only offering kind of what I talked about, but also even providing, hey, like, can we provide you an answering service to partner with and have them coached to take in these leads and book appointments for you?
Yeah.
A lot of times a person, like, we can give you all the things in the world. Some people just aren't salespeople.
There's an art to it.
Right. Like, candidly, like, I'm having to learn that. Like, I'm, you know, Ryan and I we're service people. We're implementation people.
Yeah.
And like, so I've found like, I tend to like over talk. I know too much about what I'm doing. And so like, I over talk and I don't hit the high points of like, we're going to drive you leads and we're going to be here in your corner. And I get into the weeds too much. And so again, it's not a judgment of anybody. It's just some people are skilled. And we find that when we put a salesperson in place, close rates just change like overnight. Mm-hmm. Same lead totals, not changing anything about Google Ads or Google My Business or anything. You just put the right person on the phone and these people turn into appointments.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to figure, okay, how do we provide that on a fractional level to clients as well with an answering service? And then, you know, talking about doing a lot more like life cycle analysis of like, are your close rates improving over time? Is what we're doing internally, like improving things on the front end and really just, you know, top to bottom, front to back, like having a full mapping of, you know, their revenue operations is really the goal long-term with this solution.
Very cool. Do you want to talk about a success story you've had with a client where you've been able to increase their revenue through your services?
Yes. We have a sleep apnea doctor. We have a few sleep apnea doctors. That's a space that we're trying to get into more. And that is, okay. I could talk all day about this space because it's one of those really weird industries where the customer not only doesn't want what they offer, there's no urgency to get what they want either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like buying a TV where you want a TV. It is also not like your air conditioning breaks where like, you don't really want to buy it, but you kind of have to because your house is really hot.
Yeah.
Everything happens while you're asleep. And mm-hmm. so there's like no urgency to get it until one day you just don't, sadly, like just don't wake up. And that's what happened to our client's father. And so he's like really passionate about it. And we're trying to help him, you know, literally like save lives.
Yeah.
With this. And so, but it's hard to get people through the process. You have to like drag them through it to get it done.
Yeah.
And so, but like through all of this like revenue operations work that we're doing with them, all of the frequently asked questions, like an objection counseling and sales coaching,
mm-hmm.
We've driven $1.48 million in potential revenue to them in the first 7 months of this year.
That's incredible.
Yeah. It's right. We really feel like we've unlocked kind of what it takes. And then we put in a salesperson this year and it immediately like increased their appointment rates. I think it doubled it, from just month to month having that person in place.
Yeah.
Her name's Mindy. So we're kind of calling it the Mindy effect.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the inspiration for like, wow, if you really put the right person in place with the right coaching, it makes the marketing, it really increases the efficacy and you see it in the bottom line revenue. So yeah.
Different personality types. So some people are definitely more cut out for certain roles. It makes sense.
Yeah. That's our big, that's our, we have a lot of success stories. That's probably our big one. When
That's
it comes
cool.
to revenue operations. Yeah.
Nice. And then, so has this been something you guys have just slowly niched into, or were you, you know, focused on this from the start?
This has more been a slow niche into. We realized there was a big opportunity when this client came to us and now he's with International Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to their conference last year in Las Vegas. We went as a guest of our client. They invited us and we wanted to get the lay of the land, listen here, you know, meet some of the other doctors. And they're really dentists actually that are getting, that are, you know, cause it's for mouth guards is their primary treatment type.
Interesting.
And now we're going to go back in October and it's in Dallas this year. So we're going to be sponsors of that this year.
Nice.
And really try to make it a bigger part of our business. And then involved a lot of, you know, hey, we have to get, everything has to be HIPAA compliant, right? We had to get the right insurance. That's a weird agency thing. You like, you learn when you start to grow an agency, it's like, wow, I have to have insurance now. You have to sign up for the right contracts, business associate agreements. There's a lot of legal things that, you got to get handled in order to just run some Google ads.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of what we're really excited about. We have a few more doctors coming aboard and we hope to have a lot more really soon. And we think this is kind of most marketing agencies cannot provide the level of support and an investment that we can, which is what this industry needs. And so we think that it's a big opportunity and something that we can be kind of on the forefront for moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. So what kind of businesses do you guys primarily serve? Is it mostly, you know, like doctors and dentists or explain that a little bit?
We're basically all over the board. We have not niched down at this point. It's because I like the creative, I just like the creative ventures of like learning about different business models.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of fun to kind of pick apart, hey, what is, you know, what makes a jeweler work? What makes, the doctor's office work? It's just a lot of fun. Also, we've also been a 100% referral-based business so far. We do no sales. Something
That's
we're
awesome.
Trying to work on, but it's been a blessing that we have clients that have loved our work enough that they talk to all of their friends about it.
Yeah.
And so it's been a nice, it's been really nice. That's allowed us to really grow the way we want to grow at the pace we want to grow and really take the time to put in the right fundamentals and operational practices, and not have to worry so much about the sales side. But that also means like you get the clients that you get. And so, we've everything from like, you know, private, we have a private jeweler. We have a home automation company. We have a few roofers. We have a clean room cleaning supplies company that works with like semiconductor manufacturers and aerospace and pharmaceutical. We work with sleep apnea. We work with chiropractors, physical therapists.
Interesting.
It's very all over the map.
Yeah. That's really cool.
It's been, but it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Keeps things interesting.
Yeah.
So what are some lessons you've learned from owning a marketing agency?
Sales is hard.
sales is, I think, the most important thing. There's such an art to it.
Yeah, it is. That has been, I would say, the biggest challenge that we face so far. Just because neither of us, Ryan or I being, Ryan has more sales experience than I do. But we've been so focused on like, I build all the Google Ads accounts, like from scratch. That is my skill set. That is my background. I would build out all of the Google My Business listings. I can get an Apple account, an Apple Maps account claimed. Ryan writes all the meta descriptions. We know exact everything that we sell, we know how to do personally, which has been a big, value point for us and a big point of pride for us.
Yeah.
But then as we grow the business, you can't really grow the business doing that. And so, we've now had to get into kind of a, hey, like how do we get into cold sales? What does it look like to build that? How do we market ourselves? And so that's been a big push recently and something that we've, learned when we were, it's still a steep learning curve and something that we're, figuring out. I would say another big thing is all of the non-marketing parts of running a business, right? Like there's a lot of people starting agencies. Anybody with a laptop and a Google account can start a marketing agency.
Yeah, totally.
Right? It's really not, it doesn't feel that real until you start getting into like, okay, well, oh my God, should I be paying sales tax on everything mm-hmm. that I'm doing? And like sales tax is a whole wild west of digital marketing that we're getting into with like states have different rules and we've had to like hire accountants to help us with that. And so now you have to get legal with that and you have to like, okay, like what does insurance look like? Like what insurance do we need? And just kind of these other kind of strange business expenses and things that aren't marketing are the biggest, I'd say the biggest like learning experiences that I've had. Mm-hmm. But they're also the most, I don't know, I think they're kind of, they've been fun, right? Cause it feels very real now, right? Where it's like, I'm not just a guy running a Google Ads account. Like I'm a guy that like, I feel like a real business owner now.
Yeah.
And that's been, it just feels very cool and like a kind of an interesting transition in my career. And it allows me to consult with clients. All right. So I'm going to keep talking. Like it allows me to consult with clients better too. Cause like they're business owners and they have these same pain points. And I feel like I can have a better conversation with them now, like about these like same business owner things, talking about like commercial real estate, issues that they might have. And it just feels more rewarding. And it feels like I can, you know, build closer relationships with them as, and not just a marketing vendor, but as a, more full business consultant for them.
Yeah. 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 That's a great way of looking at it. And where do you see Marion relationship marketing in 5 years time?
We want to have, well, we have revenue goals. I think where we want to be in 5 years is, how do I answer that? I don't really want to talk about the dollars because it's not about the dollars.
Is there a certain size that you want to grow your team to?
Yeah. We did the whole, E-Myth thing where you build out your org chart, before, you have everybody and then you put your faces on it. And our goal is really to like put seats on the bus, put everybody, have a person for every seat on the bus is what I tend to call it. And slowly start to fill that out with employees rather than contractors, right? So like, how do we get a full-time Google Ads person, get a full-time content specialist, get a full-time SEO person, full-time web designer, and kind of replace Ryan and I up the chain. And then same with Jeff. I mean, Jeff is our strategist, our client facing. Like I want Jeff to have 50 clients. And I'm really proud of the kind of incentive model that we've delivered there, where like, sales guys get commissions. Like, I think account people like should have commissions for keeping clients happy. Mm-hmm. And so we've built out a model that I think really rewards that type of role, in that kind of give them a lot more skin in the game, than I think a lot of account managers have. And so I think we want, I think our goal is to have like a, team of, 10 people and to have, and to really increase our, more so not necessarily to increase the number of clients, but the number of services that we provide each client.
Interesting.
So to think of it more as, I don't just want to run Google Ads for a client. Like I want to run foundational marketing and Google Ads and revenue operations programs for them.
Cool.
Or I want to run foundational. I want to run an SEO and content program and Facebook ads. And we want to really diversify our marketing mix for clients and grow our relationships with all of them and have larger revenue per customer goals than just like, I don't want to have 500 clients. That sounds exhausting. I want to have 100 clients that trust us with their whole revenue side of their business.
Higher value clients.
Right. I want higher clients that we just do so much more for. And I want to be able to provide, I don't want to just be able to provide Google Ads. I want to provide PR for these guys. Like, I want to be able to diversify like what we can offer them and build out more service offerings. That wasn't really a concise answer to your question, but that's kind of how I think of it, is we want to be their kind of fractional marketing managers and really be able to handle anything that they need.
That's awesome. Those are some incredible goals. And yeah, I'm excited for you guys.
Thanks.
So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I listened to a bunch of your podcasts to prepare for this. And I know like E-Myth comes up a lot. I love that book. I like the book Moonwalking with Einstein. It is by Jonathan Fors, and it is about, he's a journalist, and he went to go cover cover memory competitions and people that are professional memorizers, like people that can memorize decks of cards.
Interesting.
And he went to cover it and figure out like what their secret, like why they could do this. And he found out that like, they weren't special. They were just normal guys. They knew they were normal guys. They just had one technique. And they said, hey, we'll teach you how to do it, and you can win the American competition in a year. And so sure enough, like he did that. And in a year he won the American memorizing competition, having like never even attempted it before.
Yeah.
And I just thought it's one of those, I love books that are not about marketing, but teach me a lot about marketing.
Yeah.
And so, two things I got out of it was that, everyone thinks that everyone has some like secret sauce to success, and really like success is really just proper technique practiced diligently.
Yeah.
If you have the technique in mind and you just practice it constantly, like you're going to be that guy that looks like an alien that everyone thinks has like some magic born with it skill.
Yeah. Discipline and perseverance.
Yeah. And there's a second part, which is from a marketing perspective, like why people remember things is mm-hmm. like, it's, we have very good, we're very good at remembering images, and we're very good at memorizing spaces. And so I think this is why Instagram and like visual marketing works really well,
mm-hmm.
Because people like remember these imagery, and it resonates with them, really well. Cause that's just what we're wired to do from being cavemen and, having to, you know, be able to find the berry bush that's not poisonous, you know, 200 feet away, to the left.
Yeah.
Right. And that's how our brains work. And so I just think about that a lot. It's like when I'm coming up with marketing campaigns, like how does that factor into how we should be marketing things to people and helping them like create memories and remember us positively, and really want to come back to my clients later.
Cool. And what does your morning routine look like?
I'm proud to say it is very regimented. I use Roam notes for kind of documenting my schedules.
Okay.
I get in my easy chair. I start with writing down something positive. Cause it's very easy to forget all of the good things that we have going on in our life.
Yeah.
I read a chapter of the Bible. Then I go for a run.
Mm-hmm.
And then I jump in my pool after the run. That always feels really good, especially in Texas.
Yes.
And then I go wake up my wife and daughter.
Nice. And that sounds like a great morning routine.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And, you know, I work from home. And so not having a commute, I've worked from home for 6 years. Like, this is not a new thing. Welcome everybody else to work from home life. I would never go back. It is like the single greatest thing that has happened to like my like productivity and mental health.
Awesome.
Is just not having to commute. And so it's just nice to be able to take my time and, you know, feed Ruby and, you know, have that, you know, personal time before jumping into work.
Cool. That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, if I had to like, it's cheesy, but like, I think Elon Musk is doing some cool stuff. I really appreciate how he's using, instead of kind of like fighting against the powers that be, he is using the levers of like capitalism to create positive environmental change. You know, instead of like creating rules and regulations that, you know, stifle, you know, business innovation, he's, you know, hey, well, what if we just make electric cars sexy? And, you know, and like that's, and like make people want this kind of thing. And I think that's an, a really, I think it's a really inspiring way to like approach, you know, change in any, social change in any area. So I would say him.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like Elon Musk too. I think he really teaches you to kind of think outside the box. So,
yeah,
really cool. And what is your favorite online tool?
I like, it's called GS Location Changer, and it is a Chrome plugin. And I mean, I love CallRail. That's like maybe the most important tool for our business as far as like swapping out phone numbers and getting all of those like call recording information. But I think a lot of people know about CallRail. I love this location changer because I am constantly having to go look at the search landscape in my clients' locations. Like most of my clients are in Austin and I'm in Dallas. And so like I use this tool every day to go like type in Austin, and then I can go search for engagement rings in Austin and see what's going on there. And so I, it's free. It's really easy to install. It's a Chrome plugin. That's probably like the tool I use the most frequently that I think is just really handy and, valuable for what I do every day.
That's great. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I had known this would be my career when I started. Like I said, I didn't know I would be into marketing. I didn't know, I had kind of I had a jaded view of like sales and business when I was in college. And so I kind of wish I had, you know, back then known what I know now. And I would have maybe taken a business class in college. I wish, I wish I had known this would be where I would end up. But on the same token, like I really like where I am, so it's hard to really regret how things have gone too.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lane. It's been really great chatting with you.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks for the opportunity. And thanks for everything.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.